Well, to start tonight, I was thinking about how many times people look at things, they look at the things they see and instead of looking at the things that are not seen. So this, look not at the things that are seen, because this is your pastor's belt and I had to wear it. I've never worn a belt in my life, so I guess there's a day for everything. But we do. We need to look at the things that are not seen. And I'm thankful because I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 2. And start on verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. How does he do it? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. But you know, sometimes as we're new creations, we sit before the Word of God and we begin to look. Maybe you haven't asked. You have not because you ask not. We need to ask to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, not just for the evidence of speaking in tongues. I've told people they want to come up, they want to be filled, but it's when you come to be filled, you're just coming up to receive the promise. It's a promise to the new creation. You see, they begin to lean into their own understanding, and that's what I was thinking about. Eye hath not seen, the natural eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things that who? God prepared for us because we love him, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man because they don't understand it. And as we begin to take this in, they think it's foolishness. Why do they think that? Because they look at the things that they see. Man is looking at the visible church. He's looking at these things. He's looking at his own thoughts, what he thinks with his own mind. We are not to think with our own mind. We are not. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I'm telling you, that was probably the first biggest step in my life. He had to correct me. He has to correct us because he loves us. He's leading us in the ways of righteousness. He said, your heart is not my heart. That is not my thoughts. You need to come to God and acknowledge it before him. You're right, God. My heart isn't. It's not right. Search it. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You see, because his are way too much higher. So what does Satan do? He blinds the hearts and minds of people. And I'll tell you, we're living in a day of a dark world. Blinded people. They don't know the truth, but we have to pray for them. We have to be a light unto them. He said, if you are walking in the light, you will have fellowship. Fellowship one with another. We are the light in this world. We're to let our light shine. You know, we look around and we'll begin to look at people and look at things and say, look how all this is. You can look at this world as long as you want, and it's never going to satisfy you. It's never going to make you happy and want to jump up for joy. It's getting dark out. It's getting very dark. In Acts 27, that ship, remember when it was so dark, the stars weren't there, there was no moon, nothing. It was dark out on that water. But was God still God? We don't let circumstances rule our lives. Have I? Yes. But he teaches us. Penny, I want my thoughts to be yours. Then why are there so many things being taught in this world? So many people are preaching this is the truth and that's the truth. You know, there's only one truth. And this is what happened. They begin to look at this. They begin to look at strength in numbers. It becomes a monstrosity. You don't even know where it came from anymore. You don't know what's true and what's false. except for if you call and ask, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, that I can know, that I can walk that overcoming life. Rebecca had to get on that camel. Those are trials in our life. They're not easy. And God didn't say it was going to be easy. What does the visible church say? I don't have to suffer. I'm not going to suffer like that. I'm going to name it. I'm going to claim it. They're going to be caught up in systems. This is the way it's been for years, and this is the way it's going to stay. But God, only what God has ordained, what God has put in order, that's what's going to stand. And I do mean this because I love the Lord. He's told me this in my own life. It's like we have to go out, and when our loved ones, when they say, I don't believe that's the truth, don't argue. Don't argue. But I'll tell you what's happening today. We are to hate the things God hates. The Word of God says that. A proud look. Hate it. God doesn't like it. He wants nothing to do with that. So what does he want? Show him what he wants. Show him that he's asking, come unto me. When you get in the Word of God and you see how they lean into their own understanding, they make a mess of the truth. The four living ones, as I was studying that, I thought that's what I was going to talk about. They were in such oneness. There is beauty in unity. The one accord. You see, whether they turn right, left, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I said that in one of my Sunday school lessons. I did that when I first started walking with the Lord. I was jumping around in the kitchen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. What in the world does this mean? There's such a oneness. It's not about them anymore. It's about him. They go forward. They raise up those wings. They're hooked. I love it because they're all in one accord. It's all one man, Christ Jesus. And that is the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. So how many times do you come and you get in the Word and you go, I don't know what this means. Have you asked God? And I'm saying this in love because he had to correct me. Well, Lord, I got to get a message. No, you don't. I'm going to give you the message. Well, I'm going to go and get me a commentary. And I'll begin to look in a commentary. I don't mind if you do a commentary. What about coming to him first with the Word of God? Sit down before him. And if you want to go to one of Brother Copley and Sister Bodie's books after you study the Word of God, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a double blessing. Because the power of the Holy Ghost showed you personally. And you go in and you go, oh, they saw this too. They saw the same thing. Or maybe God added to it. You know, and that makes someone think, oh, you're just trying to exalt yourself. No, we exalt him. They were responsible for what they had been given and nothing beyond that. We're responsible for what we have. If it's just a cup of water I put in your hand, that's all I demand of you. But they give these truths. I remember when I was studying the Word before the Lord, and that's what we have to do. As I read it, I saw, I always heard everybody said, and they, that God said it was good. And God said it was good all these days. And I looked at the Word of God, and that doesn't mean they're bad. That doesn't mean they're negligent of the Word of God. Are you going to take what I've given you now? Are you going to step out? Are you willing to share it with the body? God said, and then God saw. You see, God speaks, and when he shows you the Word, he wants to see the manifestation. And God saw it was good. God saw. Well, I looked through the scripture and I began to read, and I was looking at Peter stepping out on the water. How many times have we looked at Peter stepping out of the, get out of the boat, now, Lord, if that's you, call me unto you. And he bid him to come. Get out of your comfort zone. Your boat's still sitting there. You can swim back anytime you want. A lot of people do go back. But he said, come to me. I'm your sustainer. I'm your life. I'm the one that's going to see you through this journey. I'm the only one who can keep you on that water, walking in truth. He steps out. And I thought of this by the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize Israel hasn't stepped out yet? They haven't got out of their comfort zone either. We have so many comfort zones. Pleasing people. That's a big comfort. It's a comfort to people. Unless God has revealed his word. And he said, you're to please God. You're to please me. If I seek to please people, how will I please the Lord? I can't say the things they want to hear. The word of God says, don't compromise with the flesh for the sake of unity. I want oneness. He wants oneness. You see, when we say, I want it, it should be, it's coming from our heart. He wants oneness. He wants our eyes to behold him in all of his glory. And that's why they worshiped and praised him day and night. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Glory to him. Because they're doing it now. They had no glory in themselves. Lord, I want to see, and I say it all the time, show me your glory. Keep showing me more of your glory. I don't have any of my own, but I can enter into his with him, and I can worship him. That's why we worship in spirit and in truth. I want you to go over, because this is another little book I looked at, and it was John chapter 6. And I got in here, and I said, Lord, will you reveal to me? Give me a revelation. I want to see something about you. I want to see something about you, Lord. John chapter 6. I saw the surface before. As I begin to go through this, he had done miracles. He had done healing. But now he's going to feed 5,000 people. After these things, the miracles and the healings, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude, not just a multitude, we're talking a great multitude, followed him. Because why? Wouldn't we love to see great multitudes following Jesus? Paul said, follow me because I'm of Christ. That's all. That's the only reason. But they followed him because they saw miracles. You see, their eyes were seeing things on the outside. But we want dove's eyes. We want he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We want it to enter into the heart and there will be a change. He removed the veil so we can see it. That's what a revelation is. The unveiling. I want you to see it. People tell you, oh, they don't want you to see Revelation, the book of Revelation. You can't see that. Really? It's unveiled. This is to be seen. We have to know what day and time we're living in. Paul knew when he was going home, and I will stand on that. He knew. Elijah knew. Today is, he said, my departure is at hand. I'm about ready to leave. A great multitude were following, but it wasn't for the word of God. They followed him because of miracles, for that natural, now watch this, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover and the feast of the Jews was nigh. Jesus then lifted up his eyes. He saw a great company come unto him, and he said to Philip, okay, I got a revelation of this. Maybe you already had it. And I said, well, I'm going to look up his name, a lover of a horse. Lord, is that where they got Philippians? Lovers of the horse? I said, in all this time, I love Philippians? And here Philip's name means a lover of horses? But that's what I'm talking about. Sit before him and say, show me. Show me. He said to Philip, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these can eat? And this he said to prove him. Let me test. Just try it. See, you know, I want him to see. He already knows what he's going to do. He said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take just a little to eat. There's no way. We don't have enough money for this. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad here. And the Holy Spirit spake and said, do you remember, Penny, Genesis 22? Genesis 22, 5. Do you remember that Abraham told them, you stay here, the young man, you stay with the asses, you stay here. The lad and I are going to go up to worship. I've always loved that, to worship. But it was the lad. Well, it was the lad who had food to eat. Jesus is the one, but we have to see it through dove's eyes. I looked at it the other way. I wasn't looking at it right. One of the disciples, they come and said, there's a lad here. He has five, and please get this, barley loaves. And I went in to look about these barley loaves, and I read a little bit about it. And I'm not going to say all of it, but the one thing I did see was it's an elite bread. One of my favorite breads is Ezekiel bread. It has a lot of barley in it. Barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many people? What are they? Five barley loaves, two fishes. I love this part. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Where are they going to sit? Now there was much grass in the place. Have you thought of Psalms 23? He leads us into green pastures. He restores my soul. He makes me to rest. He brings me the comfort. He brings me by the still waters. You make him sit. There's much grass here. So the men sat down in the number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and this is what we forget. Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took the fish. He looked up to who? His Father. Father, thank you for these loaves, and thank you for the fish. You know, he was praising him. He delighted to do his Father's will. Father, bless this. Bless it. I give you thanks for it. So it can feed all these people. Let me tell you, it has fed the multitudes. You look at what the bride has gleaned. Look what's happening with her. All because of him. He made sure. He made sure I had what I needed. You see, every day you get up, he's going to give you what you need. His response, it's God. God, I need you to bless this. I need to feed these people. I know you're able. And he gave thanks. When you go to God, do you give thanks? Why would you even go to God and ask him to bless it and give thanks for it if you don't even believe he can bless it? You know? He knew. And as soon as, first things first, I always say, before you start eating. And when he given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, the learners of him, pupils. I want to know you, Lord. And the disciples to them that were sat down. And they begin to disperse. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. You know, you look at 5,000 people and you're passing around this little loaf and you would think they're all going, well, I could probably get a, you know, just a little piece. No, they ate till they were full. But God does things in abundance. We didn't even see what God did when God said, I will answer the cry of your heart. God knew he was going to make sure. He sent his only begotten son for us because he loved us. He takes full responsibility. 10, responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. We don't have any ability of our own. We really don't. Paul told Timothy, he said, you give out this word. You preach, and notice, it's the same truth, the same. You give it to other men that they'll be able to teach. Thank God for those who have given us truth. And always, I don't care who it is, God says we are to go before God and ask him, is this true? There are so many things that I had heard that the Holy Spirit has come in. And he said, didn't I tell you I was going to lead and guide you into all truth? Not any of it's going to happen. You can't do that. That's what the visible church is doing, false doctrines. They're getting all caught up in all those things. I mean, really, even, I always tell the Lord, don't let me get caught up in the gifts, the graces, the who's going to be the preacher, who's going to be the teacher, who's going to get to sing this song. I don't want to get caught up in that. Caught up in him. Be led of the Spirit. I listened on the live channel. And I was listening and there was a choir up here singing. I felt like I was in glory. Because God is orchestrating. If we'll only let him do the orchestrating. Let him lead and guide. I used to do things out of order. I remember a sweet, precious sister. Thank God she knew what to do. And you know what she did when I was out of order? She went. In quietness and stillness shall be her strength. She didn't have to get all strong in herself. You see, she was quiet. And I went, oops, I think that is something wrong. Well, it gave me a little nudge. The Holy Spirit. See, he's growing you up. He'll tell you. You know, I used to think, all right, I saw what you did, you kids. You know I saw you, and I know what you said that for. And the Lord said, why do you tell them that? I said, because they need to know. And he said, no, Penny, they already did. They knew what they did it for. When I need you to instruct, I'm going to lead you in the power of the Holy Ghost. And honey, you got it. Oh, here goes Brother Jesse. Honey, you have to do it in love. Sometimes you listen to someone so much, and even my daughter, she's going, now, honeys? And I go, I mean, I don't want to talk about I because I'm not supposed to, but even I sat right back there, and Jesse was up here preaching. It wasn't Jesse. And if it was, it worked. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know better, right, honey? And I was going, not me, ain't talking to me. He started talking that over there. She needed to hear that. Not me. Honey? I was like, whew, he's calling me by my name. You better pay attention. Penny, I'm not doing it to be mean to you. I love you, honey. Come to me. Boy, you're going to get more than you can even imagine if you'll just listen with the spiritual ear. And I love it because it's an ear. It's not two ears. It's an ear. When it was back in the days, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, oh, they wanted to hear the things you hear with your ears. When we get to the end of the thing, he that hath an ear, you're going to have to be really listening for that still, small voice. Thank God for that voice. There are so many, I mean, we look, there's a treasure in an earthen vessel. We tend to look at the vessel, and we go, look at that vessel. It crack in a minute. I mean, you can crumble. You know, we were talking, I told some ladies, I said, I heard someone preach, and they mentioned, how can someone say, I just can't do it anymore? It's not, I can't do it anymore and walk with Jesus. It's you get so caught up in what you're doing and all the junk that goes with it that you go, that's it, Lord, no more. Pick somebody else. And you do with your heart. You say, no, I'm done. And he comes in and said, oh, no, I got a message for you. I'm going to talk to you, honey. And he begins to talk to you, and you go, oh, I can't wait till I get to preach this one. Oh, I thought I was done. You see, you're done. You need to be done. It needs to be Jesus alive in every one of us. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in one accord. And there is, I hear people say, people of like faith, of like this and like, we are to be of like. I long to be with those of like faith. That's them, the living ones. They know. Well, they ate until they were filled. And then Jesus tells them, okay, gather up all the fragments that remain, nothing will be lost. There's no waste. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Oh, he's got plenty. There's more where this came from. Therefore, they gathered together and they filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. There's something about those barley loaves. Then those men, when they had seen this miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is a truth. He is a prophet that should come into the world. You know, he wants us to see him and take of the bread. He is the true bread from heaven. He wants us to enjoy the life that we have, that God so loved us. God said, I love you. And he didn't just say it with words. God wants us practical in our life, that the provisional is practical. And if you really want to love with God's love, I guarantee you, he does do it. He uses his word. I love him because he first loved me. And we love that and we revel in it. It's so good. Well, I love him because he first loved me. I love his sheep because he loves them and he showed me that. Feed my lambs. You know, we got to take time and gentleness and kindness. Teach those little lambs because they don't know. They don't know which way to go. We were like that too. We needed a shepherd. Thank God he gave us one. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Oh, man, we don't have to want. He'll give you what you need. Have you ever prayed for what you want and you got it and go, oh, yuck. We had the ugliest car. We had to have that beautiful thing. It was the worst car on this earth. And God said, do you still like it? And I said, no, I already had a better one. And I was dumb. You see how we are? We already have the best. Seek him. You already have it all. I already blessed you with heavenly things. Because you're born again, you're my people. Look up. He said, look up. And I go, I'm looking up, Lord. He said, look up. You need to see things in heavenly places. He said, those things that satisfy, there are pleasures forevermore at his right hand. And I don't know all of them, but he's going to show us. He's faithful. And that's what we said when we say, I'm done, oh, good. But I'm done, but Jesus, you are so faithful. God is faithful who has promised, who also will do it. He didn't just give us this life. He wants us to keep growing. He's the sustainer of that life. He giveth living waters, and I thirst no more. When you begin to get thirsty and unsatisfied, come back to the water. Don't go fill it up with something else. I had a sweet, precious man who lost his wife. And he said, I lost her, and I was married to her for 60-some years. And he said, but God is faithful. He said, do you know that empty void that I have of my love? He's filling it with him. I said, well, she went by way of it was time. How many have left their first love? How do you think his heart feels? Lord, fill this cup to overflowing. So we will worship you in spirit and truth and wherever you go. And you don't even really think about it. And that's the truth. Let Jesus be alive in you. And they're going to come and they're going to say things to you like, how did you do that? I didn't. And that is, I believe, when John said, hey, see that you do it not. You know, we are not to be one who let them bow down to you. I'm one of you. We're in this together. I need you. You may not need me, you think, but you do, because God said you do. We're one body. And there is no useless members. Come in. This is the real true bread from heaven. This is all it. I am so thankful that he just take time and just say, Lord, we had nothing. I didn't have nothing. And then from nothing to page after page after page, and I didn't say half of the stuff, but it's not what we do. It's what he wants to do. I'm going to put it in here, and I'm going to let him just let it pour out. You know, it's a lot freer that way. You're not very burdened about it. Well, that's our life that we now live. Don't be burdened about it. You go to him and you ask for more grace. Thank the Lord for the grace message. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, I just come to you and I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that we are the vessel, but Father, we are a small part, but Father, when we decrease, yes, you do increase. And Father, I thank you that you're the one who's going to give the increase of your word wherever it goes, no matter what we say, as long as it's the word of God, it won't return void. I thank you for all the saints here and thank you for their love, Father. I ask you to lead and guide them into all truth. And I know you will because your truth said that if we be led of the Spirit, And Father, I just thank you again for this wonderful day, just to worship and thank you for who you are. Not for what you're going to give us, but what you already did. I just praise you for that. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, we just ask you to be with all the saints as we go home tonight. Lead and guide us in your perfect direction, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.